We're concluding our series called Renovations, and the last 4 weeks we've been spending time just talking through this honest evaluation. This is what this is. This is us being honest with ourselves. This is us being honest with our lives and the things that are happening, because all of us in this room at some point, we need to do some demo work on our lives. It's fun, isn't it? Fun times. And there's a process. Can we all just say this? Tell your neighbor this. You are in process. You are in process. You can tell them also you're a piece of work. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Hopefully you haven't said that yet. All right. So some of you got a little more excited with that than that they're in process. You're like, you're a piece of work. It's more of not what you said. It was how you said it. That was kind of. Anyway, this is what we've been talking through. Just kind of, what is God? What are you doing in my life? What is it that you're leading me? How do I be obedient in this? How do I give an honest assessment of where I am? And listen, it starts with I'm willing. It starts with I'm willing to do this. It starts with, after I'm willing, figuring out a plan. It starts with obedience. And then it starts with doing the hard work, as Pastor Sean talked about last week, of doing demo, which I also want to tell you today. I do not recommend you hiring him to do any work around your house. Okay? I'm just throwing that out there. He's too busy anyway. All right? So trust me. Listen, anybody that's looking up YouTube to do projects, it's not good. It's kind of like the people that go online and get their pastoral license so they could do weddings. Yeah, there's a couple of those people. I take that personal. It would be like me going online and getting like a barber degree, right? And then I'm going to say, hey, anybody want me to cut your hair? No, you're not going to want me to cut your hair. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. We'll move past that later. All right. And this is things I won't bring up in second service. All right. Listen, here's what I'm confident in. I'm confident that God is a God that wants restoration. I'm confident that God is a God that wants to rebuild your life. I'm confident that God is a God that is for you this morning, despite whatever it is that's happening in your life. I'm confident of this, that God has a plan for your life, even though in the middle of the rubble, in the middle of the chaos, you may not see it right now, but that does not change the fact that God has a plan for your life. And that God wants to rebuild something. That God wants to do something. But this is how God works. God works from the inside out. You and I, a lot of times, want to work from the outside in. God doesn't do that. He works from the inside out. And so we see this in Matthew 15. I'm going to read this passage for you. It says this. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. What's he saying? He's saying you are revealing, when you speak, what is really inside your heart. Like, I'm such a sarcastic, angry person, and that's what's coming out of my mouth. You can't say, like, well, I'm just angry, but all this joy is coming out. That's not how it works. It's the inside is coming outside. So if you're going like, man, I am saying some things I shouldn't be saying, it's more of a reflection of your heart than it is anything else. It's not a bad day. It's your heart. And this is what God's after. God is after reconstructing, rebuilding, renewing your heart. This is what he's after. Okay, I heard this quote a long time ago. And it brings Matthew 15 alive. It says, as long as a person stands with his mouth shut, it's in the mind of others who he is. But when he opens his mouth, we see what's on the inside. We are people that reveal. We are people that are the great revealers. Every time we talk, we are revealing what's on the inside. And God says to us today, I want to renew your inside. I want to change you from the inside out. And that's his plan. According to the opening scripture that my daughter Libby just read, this is the point. Through a creative command of God, those who accept Jesus Christ by faith are made a new creation that belongs to God totally in this world. The believer becomes a new person. Romans 8 comes alive. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children, sons and daughters of God. And this is the point. The point of what we're really trying to do when we talk about renovations is, what spirit am I being controlled by? See, this is the honest conversation that you and I have to have, is what spirit am I being controlled by? Because there is this constant conflict that is happening in my world. And this conflict is what I want and what God wants. This conflict that's happening, that's constantly butting against each other, is what do I want to do and what does God want me to do? And all of us in this room are like, yes, I want to be known as children of God. And he says, this is how you're known by children of God. Those of you that are led by the Spirit of God, those of you who are being obedient with what God is asking you to do. And it starts with me going, God, I'm willing to go through this process. I'm willing to start this process. I'm willing to go through this. We're going to look in the Bible today in the Old Testament at the story of Nehemiah. And I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you. Okay? Some of you, you don't like homework. In fact, it's a cuss word still at the age of 42. Like, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, homework, it freaks us out. But I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of homework. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of reading. Nobody in this room, if you're saying these things like, I just don't know what to read right now, I'm going to ask you, read the first six chapters of Nehemiah. To read these first six chapters and really get to know the story of Nehemiah. Get to know the backstory of Nehemiah. Get to know the heart of what Nehemiah is going through. And we're going to touch on these things today. This is what rebuild means. It means to construct a building or other structure again because it's been damaged or destroyed. Anybody been damaged or destroyed? Come on, somebody. We live in a house designed and built by God. And listen, the Bible tells us that Satan is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy what God has made or remade. Okay? Rebuild is based on the extent of the damage. It may be necessary to completely start over. There may be some things in your life that you have to demo and restart. You got to completely tear down. Listen, relationships, forgiveness, repentance, all of these things. And depending on your situation, it may take a long time to rebuild. I wish I'm sorry was enough, but sometimes that just starts the process. We want hallelujah moments, don't we? We want angels to come down, visit us with light shining everywhere, and it doesn't always happen that way. If you're like me, I cannot stand, one of the worst feelings for me personally in the world is when I know someone doesn't like me. Now, it might be my people-pleasing side. It might be whatever it is. It might be the Spirit of the Lord, just this reminder that God is really the one that matters, right? But again, I can't help this. This is kind of how I was born. This is my personality. God's working on me in it, but I cannot fathom. I cannot stand. It distracts my attention when I know someone is mad at me. When I know someone is against me, when I know someone doesn't like with what I'm doing, even if what I'm doing is right, even if what I'm doing is something that God has called me to do, when I know that someone is against it, there's this constant struggle to stay on course. Okay, there's this constant struggle. So again, we're in process. To rebuild also means to work to restore something that has been weakened. Again, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Maybe it's been damaged or ruined. This is what Luke 6 says. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Here's what it comes down to. He says this constantly. Luke 5, Luke 6, he uses this phrase. Those of you that are willing to listen, what's he saying? He's saying there's moments in life where you and I ignore the commands of God. And we ignore for a lot of different reasons. We ignore because it's hard. We ignore because it's a crazy process. And we ignore because we're lazy. We don't want to do the work. Think about projects in your house. Think about the projects in your house that you know need changing, but you're not doing it. Think about, yep, Thomas, not you, Thomas. You don't think about that. Think about the projects in your house that you've not done for a long time? And then ask this question, why haven't you done them? Process? Money? Cost? What is that? That is you saying, I recognize that there's something I need to do. I'm just not willing. Jesus is saying, those of you that are willing to listen, hear what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, you are in two categories. You're all listening, you're all hearing, but those that do and those that don't do. That's the two categories. He says, those that hear what I'm saying and you build your life on this foundation that is Jesus Christ, and those of you that don't build your life on the foundation. The houses look the same, the foundation is different. And the only way that I can tell what type of house I built is when the wind comes and when the storms come, and they will come. The forecast is this. There will be storms that come in your life, and it's in those moments that I find out where I built my life. If you built it on doing the easy things, if you built it on doing the hard things, if you built it on doing the cheap things, who's cheap in this room? Yes, don't hit your husband. If you built it on that, here's how you can evaluate. When the storms come, you're going to find out how you built your house. That's when. It doesn't say if the storms come, it says when they come. And they may come in a fury. They may come so quickly. The rebuilding requires you to take a different pathway. And I would even say this, rebuilding means that you might have to relearn. You know how difficult it is to relearn? Well, it's really difficult when you know everything. You know why I don't learn a lot? Because I think I know a lot. You know how I find out when I don't know a lot? When the storms hit me and I realize how I built my house, and now I have to relearn how to do it the right way. And sometimes the rebuilding process shouldn't take as long as it does because I'm not willing to learn. It's going to take longer. What is that? What is that? That's you and I being prideful in the process. There is a cost to rebuilding. Okay? It should not be a surprise. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm not going to say the king's name, but I'm going to just call him King Art. Just throwing that out there. Because everybody asked how to say that didn't know. So you can attempt it if you want. But Nehemiah chapter 2 says this. I'll start in the end of verse 1. He says, I was serving the king wine. Everybody said amen? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I don't actually drink wine. But anyway, I had never been before sad in his presence. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. Now, if you want to read Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah, they go hand in hand. The queen that he just talked about who is sitting next to him is actually Esther, who's sitting next to the king. And you can read about Esther's story. Esther was first, then Nehemiah, then Ezra. All of these things are happening in these three books, and they all are together. The rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the walls of Judah, the rebuilding of the city where he was raised. This is him being deeply sad. There are things that are happening in Nehemiah's life where he's recognizing that God is getting hold of his attention because there's been things in his life that have been ruined. Okay, and so now he's in this willing place. He's heard about the demo. He's heard about this crazy thing that's happened in his city, and God has deeply burdened him. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Until we're deeply burdened by the ruins, we will never rebuild. Until you're deeply burdened by the sin that is in your life, you will never rebuild the right way. See, it's not so much that I'm deeply burdened by the sins of others. I have to first be deeply burdened by my own sins. Because if I'm not burdened by my own sins, if I'm not burdened by the things that I've done, then I'll never have compassion on people that sin around me. And there will be people that sin around you. Again, coming back to revealing what is in your heart. Well, that person sins worse than I do. That's not the point. The point is that you and I both sin. And the point is, how do I respond to people when I've not dealt with my own ruins? This is what he's talking about. This is what he's doing. He's saying, listen, we'll never rebuild. And so he's saddened. And the king sees him and the king says, whoa, 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 there's something going on inside of you. He says, I'm deeply troubled. What is he troubled by? He's troubled that his city where he lived. This is the honest evaluation of my life. Again, I like asking questions. How do you respond to correction in your life? How do you do? How do you do when your wife says to you, you're not doing what I need from you? How do you do when a coworker comes to you and says, your attitude or something? And listen, this is what it comes down to. Is there truth to what's being said to you? Okay? This is what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's saying, how do I handle an honest evaluation of what's happening in my life when the people around me reveal it? Okay? And let me explain this for a second. The people around you that know you, there's a big difference. The people around you, listen, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He served the king every single day. So much that the king knows Nehemiah. So much that he says, Nehemiah, you're not yourself today. He asked him the question. Without the question, Nehemiah doesn't say, I'm deeply troubled by this. What did he do? He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I want an opportunity to be able to share with the king what is on my heart. And when he went there, the king who knows him knows he's not himself. And because he's for him and not against him, and because Esther's for him and not against him, he asked the question not to embarrass, not to just shame him, but to say to him, you're not yourself. How can I help? It says this. The king says to him, how can I help you? When was the last time that in our honest evaluation, we have been this or we've been on the receiving end of this, that we have someone in our life says, listen, I want to correct the sadness, the deep sorrow that you're feeling. How can I help you? Listen, you know what this meant? It doesn't say this here. It says it later. It says when he told him the time frame that he would be gone, he granted his request. You know what the time frame was? 12 years. Wasn't a 2-week vacay. It was 12 years that he granted him to leave. You know what that means? That means for the king, I got to replace Nehemiah, who I love. I got to give him away. And it's now going to cost the king someone that he trusts. Come on. Listen, correction, confession leads ultimately to commitment. I'm going to hurry along. Which ultimately leads to courage. Okay? Which ultimately leads to caution. I'm going to get into this now. Chapter 3, verse 11. Here's the first thing. Nehemiah goes. First thing he does is arise at night when no one else knows. And he rides around the walls of the city and he surveys the ruins. This is what it says. It says that Nehemiah shows up. He goes around at night. Nobody, not that many people with him. And it doesn't say he just starts building. It says that he evaluates the ruins. It says he's being very cautious. Okay? It says that he's doing these things. Listen, for us to rebuild our life, there's steps that you and I have to take, that Nehemiah took, that is still beneficial for us today. You can see this in Ezra, you can see this with Esther, and you can see it with Nehemiah. Listen, Nehemiah and Ezra probably aren't very impressed with the things that you and I are having to go through, built on what they had to go through. Okay? And this is how Nehemiah started. This is how Nehemiah started the process. The first thing it says that he did was he began with prayer. Let me ask you this. In the rebuilding process, I know this may seem really weird. You're at church, we talk about prayer, okay? Let me ask this honest evaluation. Have you started the rebuilding process by praying? Super simple. Super easy. He starts with prayer. The burden he had for the city was because he prayed. Listen, if I skip the step of praying, okay, I'll put it in today's terms. You have a job opportunity. Let's just say you have a family situation. Let's just say your family situation is kind of chaotic. You don't know what to do. Do you pray about it? See, listen, there's ruins around you. There's demo that's happened, some of which is self-inflicted, some of which you took the sledgehammer and you started doing it, and some of it is somebody else took the sledgehammer and started tearing down walls that you didn't want to be torn out. And now you're standing amongst the ruins. What do you do in that moment where you're standing amongst the ruins? See, you and I go, I want to be burdened for something, but we skip praying about it, and now there's no burden. And now I just see a need, and I'm telling you, if I see a need without a burden, I'll quit. I will. I'll quit. If I just jump on board because everybody else is jumping on board, if I just grab a tool and say, I'm going to start doing this because so-and-so is, listen, at some point, it's going to turn to, I'm tired, I want to give up. You got to be burdened first and foremost, and that only happens with prayer. That's the first thing he did. And then, in 2:17, he invited other people in. He said, let us build this together. You know what that means? He realized he couldn't do this on his own. He realized he needed to surround himself with the right people. Listen, start surrounding yourself with the right people that you can look at and say, let's build this thing together. He didn't say, let me build it and watch me. He said, let us build this together. He prayed, he gathered the right people, and this is so important. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 1, that the leaders led the way. It says the priests, it says those that were leaders led the way. Some of you in this room, you're like, yep, pastor, that's your job. We'll fall in line. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you're a leader in your home, lead the way. If you're a man in this room, lead the way. If you're a mom in this room, lead the way. If you have someone younger than you, lead the way. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you and I, we excuse this away. We go, well, that's somebody else's job. Nope, that's not what he's saying. He said the leaders rose up at that moment and they led the way. 1 John says this, if anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. And anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking dark. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. And I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. And I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won the battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. Again, he says this because you and I don't get it the first time. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, I'm looking for the mature people who don't just talk that they're mature, who don't just talk about being leaders. I'm looking for them to lead the way. He says, listen, it's not enough just to pray. It's not enough to just gather the people around. We got to start leading. And then, who's this all-in mentality? You know what it says? It says that families took ownership of building the wall. It says family segments. This is where we start getting these people who want their names on bricks, right? It's like all of these families start taking parts of the wall, and they started taking pride in the fact that their families, they're getting their sons, their daughters, their cousins, and they're actually coming together and not just eating. They're working together, right? They're coming together, rebuilding the wall, taking pride, going, listen, this is our part of the wall. We're not going to let this part of the wall be weak. They're rebuilding this as families. Listen, this is when leaders lead. They gather their families in. They say, come on, guys, we're all doing this. I know you're the lazy kid, but you're doing it too. I know your brother can do it better, but you're a part of this too. It's this all-in mentality, okay? It says all in, everybody included. They took pride in this, knowing that there was going to be opposition, knowing that he had to resolve some conflict. Listen, have you ever done a rebuild or a project where it's not been conflict? Where it's not been like, well, this is going exactly how I thought it would go. Man, this is exactly how I planned this out. I'm so glad I got blueprints. You might as well throw those things away. Burn them if you want. Make them frame them. I don't know what you do with them because they're going to change. And if, I almost went there. I'm going to go there anyway. And if my wife's involved, it's going to change a lot. Okay, you want to move this over here. You want to do this. You want to do all these things. Listen, there's going to be distractions. You know what Nehemiah did in the distraction moments? He confronted the conflict. You know what you and I like to do? We like to put conflict right underneath here. It's gone, right? Nope. At some point, it's going to be exposed. At some point, we got to rip the tarp up. You know what he did? Listen, I get it. Everybody in this room, well, it's not my spiritual gift to confront people. I just really don't like conflict. Well, who in the world likes conflict? I mean, besides me. I don't love conflicts. I don't mind the awkward. That's the difference. I don't mind it being awkward. I don't mind. But listen, again, there's this mentality that Nehemiah had, and it all because he started with prayer, that he's willing to ask the tough questions. He's willing to look at the families that he's asked to build together. He's willing to look at them and go, you're not doing your part. Why are you not doing your part? Why are you not doing your part? We've become this offended culture that we can't ask tough questions because I'm more concerned about your feelings than the fact that you're not doing jack for the kingdom of God. Well, I might offend them if I tell them, if we start talking about tithing, I might offend them. What about the blessing of tithing? Why are we so distracted because there's this mentality that we can't talk about hard things because people can't handle hard? Yeah, that's probably the problem because we're not willing to talk about it. He started calling these families out. He said, guys, are we rebuilding this or are we not? He was willing to talk conflict so that people would work and people would do what was right and they would rebuild. This is what he's doing. And this is what Nehemiah did not do. He did not quit. He didn't quit. And there's this moment right here in chapter 4, verse 6. At last, the wall was completed to half its height. This is danger zone, you guys. Because at halfway, you feel like you've done something. This is why people start projects and they quit. This is why we start a process and midway through we go, I'm good. I mean, it doesn't look that bad. You got a half wall. Like, seriously, it does look bad. Yes, it looks better than what it was before, but it still doesn't look, it's not complete. Right? Listen, there's this part in my house. God bless her. There's a part in my house, and you could come in and you could see it. And it's not all on her. It's on me too, but she really does love to paint. But you come in the front door of my house. God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. She's in the office. Okay, we're good. So there's this part in the house where you walk in. The TV is on. Babe, I love you, first and foremost. There's a part in the house. You walk in, and it's painted, but it doesn't go all the way to the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? I see it every morning. Now I know every lady in this room is like, then you should paint it, right? I mean, I get what you're saying right now. But that's her gifting, not mine. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm waiting for her to come in. So, what is that? I think there's this sense of accomplishment in us where we do projects that we get halfway or 75% done and we quit. Why is this in here? Why is this in here? He didn't have to say that. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But then the enemy, Ammonites, the Arabs, all these heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired. They were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Listen, at the halfway point is the most dangerous point. It might be the point where you got to pray again that you would be strengthened because you want to give up. And this is the moment where the enemy is trying to get you to quit. He's furious at you. He wants you to stop the rebuilding process. You want to keep going. Your spirit is willing. Your flesh is weak. This is what the Bible's saying. He's like, at the halfway point, you want to stop. And he says, no, this is not the moment we stop. This is the moment we keep going. And so you might have to pray again. We are tempted in this moment to turn back. We are exhausted. We've had enough enthusiasm up to this moment. God is showing us today, now is not the time to give up. Verse 10, then the people of Judah began to complain. how many times have we been here. I think security, did you escort her out? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired. There is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Come on. At some point, this is what he's saying. There's so much rubble. We're not going to be able to do this. This is the moment where we turn back. And this is what Nehemiah does in chapter 4 at the halfway point. Verse 13. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall and the exposed areas, and I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. He stationed people at the exposed areas. This is what he did. He refocused. See, some of you, you're at the halfway point, 25% part. You're starting this rebuilding. You're at this place right now where you're like, I could go either way. I can quit. I could keep going. I don't know what to do. And he says, listen, now is the moment where you focus. Now is the moment where you put people at the exposed areas, the weak places. This is where we go. You focus on the Lord. You fix. Fix. Focus. And then to me, look at this. Verse 14. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. The New Living says, and I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. It's reminders. And then the last thing he did in this moment of halfway, he says, remember why you're fighting. Remember why we're doing what we're doing. There's a greater cause that's going to outlive us. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, he continues on, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. He's saying, remember, this is about people. We are in the people business. We are about restoration. We're about rebuilding. We're about seeing the good in people. We're about rebuilding their lives. We're about coming back to a God who is for them and not against them. We can be renewed. We can be changed. The same God who gave us grace, he extends to other people. This is why we're doing what we're doing. He says, remember, God is awesome, and remember why we're doing what we're doing. It's to outlive us. This is for future generations. And I think there's so many times in the middle of our project, in the middle of our rebuilding, that we forget why we're doing what we're doing. We get caught up in the moments. We get caught up in the enthusiasm. We get caught up in the adrenaline, and we forget. And he says, don't forget why you're doing what you're doing. It's not just for your kids, but it's for your kids' kids. This is why you're doing it. Listen, the enemy, man, he's going to fight you so hard. Man, I don't want to end on just a negative note, but he is. He's going to fight you. Man, chapter 6, it starts with this. It won't be on the screens. There's a rumor among the surrounding nations. Tell me if it's true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that's why you're building the wall. According to reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you've appointed prophets. Look, there's the king of Judah who will say, look, there's a king of Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over me. And I replied, there's no truth. Listen, here's how the enemy contends. He spreads lies. Listen, the Bible says that the enemy is the father of lies. Any sports people in this room, and you know the plan of the enemy. And if I know the plan of the enemy, now I know how to confront that plan. His plan is to lie. To deceive, to tell you things that are not true. This is the plan. Here's what he's saying. Hey, there's rumors out there that, hey, Nehemiah, you're building this wall. It's a bank you king. What happens if we get back to King Art and he hears about what your plan is? And he says, listen, this plan isn't true. This plan isn't true. Listen, I replied, there's no truth. Verse 9. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. You know where you need to be today? Where you need to be today is that, God, I'm going to rebuild with greater determination. God, I'm going to fight with greater determination. God, I'm not giving up in this moment. I'm going to rebuild. And if that means in the middle of my rebuilding, listen, in the middle of your rebuild, as you're constructing, you might still have to demo some other things. There's going to be moments where this chair is going to get nicked. I know it looks great. My wife did an incredible job. But there's moments where you're going to kick it. Okay? You're going to kick it. You're going to scratch it. You're going to mess it up. And she's going to have to start doing some things to it again. That is our life, you guys. There's always going to be moments where we got to redo and we got to remake and we got to touch up things and that's us being willing and honest, okay? There's moments where you're going to be rebuilding and also tearing down at the same time. Why? Because that is living life. But today you got to have greater determination to continue on. I love this, verse 15. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished. 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. Golly, man, there is nothing greater when someone lies about you and you're able to stand in the truth and to let them know they were wrong. Listen, I'm going to be super vulnerable with you for a second. Gosh. Why do we live stream this one? I know. There are people that do not like my involvement in the school district. They do not like that I coach and it takes up my time away from pastoring in their minds. I know that it's unprecedented, some of the things that we do. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska last week. I'm just sharing heart vision, and they're like, I've never heard anybody do that. That doesn't even comprehend in my mind that is something that you do. I'm not saying it makes sense to other people, because God hasn't called other people to do it. Okay, but when I look around this room and there's people in this room that I've met through the school district, I stand in this truth that the enemy who is trying to intimidate and to humiliate and to get me off the call of what God has asked us to do, I stand here knowing, nope, you can't intimidate me. Because with even greater determination, I'm going to keep doing what God has asked me to do. And what's going to happen in this house and in this community and then in this county is God's going to do what God wants to do, and he's going to use the things that he wants to do. And people aren't going to like it. They're not going to like it. It is going to be unprecedented. But listen, when I look around this room and I see people who have been impacted because we have chosen as a church to be involved in the community, listen, there's like a... I want to do something to the enemy when that happens. They were frightened and humiliated, and they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. They were frightened and humiliated because this is what God has done. This is not what I've done. This is not what Pastor Sean has done. This is not what my wife has done. This is what God has done. And there will be a contention. There will be people who want to tear down the process. Listen, stand firm, even a greater determination to continue to build, to continue to keep going, to continue to do what God has called you to do. And in that process, in that determination, watch as the enemy is humiliated and frightened, and God gets all the praise and all the glory. And that's the point. That's the point. That's the point. Not that our name is famous, that his name is famous, and this is why we do what we do. Come on, somebody. Come on. Would you guys stand with me this morning? I asked Thomas if he would sing this song. I want him to more sing this song over us. Obviously, you can sing with him. You're in this room. Okay? Maybe you're in a demo still. You're like, I'm not even thinking about rebuilding anything right now. I'm still tearing some things down. I'm willing, but I am still just this, in this construction place. And this is a moment, 1v1, you and God, where you're just going, God, here I am. Help me. Strengthen me. I'm determined today to keep going. Some of you, you're at the halfway point, okay? You're at the point of turning back, or you're at the point of keep going. This is my prayer, God, that you would give us even greater determination today to keep going in the name of Jesus. Can we agree on that?